We are talking about apologies, why we hear the word sorry a lot. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Research tells us that women say they're sorry more times in their life than men do, and that men and women have very different ideas about what type of behavior actually constitutes an apology. Have you ever paid attention to how much you apologize and noticed that it's a lot? Did it bother you? Have you ever tried to stop saying sorry so frequently? Let's hear from you at 800-642-1234. Deborah Tannen explores these questions as a linguistics professor at Georgetown University, and she's written books about how language affects relationships. Her latest book is called You're the Only One I Can Tell, Inside the Language of Women's Friendships. Deborah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, so glad to be here.
So when we say sorry, a lot of the times we're not actually trying to apologize or admit fault. What are all the other ways we use sorry? What other meanings does the word have?
Sometimes sorry means I'm sorry that happened. And sometimes it's just an automatic gesture, kind of like tipping your hat, and it doesn't mean anything. But it can be interpreted as an apology, and that's when it gets complicated. Sometimes a woman might say, I'm sorry, knowing she wasn't at fault, but it's a way to get the other person to admit fault, because we kind of all assume this is a two-part ritual. I say I'm sorry for X, you say I'm sorry for Y. If you haven't said I'm sorry when I think you should, then I might say I'm sorry for X to get you to say I'm sorry for Y. But all these things can be complicated because they can be interpreted as an apology, even though they're not intended that way.
Well, it's interesting you say the word ritual, that there's a ritualistic quality about the word sorry, that there's a knee-jerk reaction to this word. Why do you use the word ritual?
All of language, when we use it in our conversations every day, has a ritual aspect. We say the things that other people say in that situation. I think if you think about, how are you? Oh, hi, how are you? I haven't planned to ask you for your medical report. I'm just greeting you in a way that I have heard other people greet you. And that's one of the things that gets interpreted literally when we say it to someone from another culture who doesn't use it as a ritual. And that is really a universal of communication. There are cultures where you greet by saying, have you eaten yet? And we don't share that. So we may be expecting an invitation to lunch and be puzzled when it doesn't come. Well, that's how people sometimes respond to the I'm sorry, which, if you use it automatically. I'll give you an example. This was a teacher who had to send a very difficult student to the principal. She later ran into the principal, who said he had suspended the student. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. And he said, don't apologize. It wasn't your fault, which many of us women are told very often. She, at dinner that evening, again, something many women do, we told everybody at dinner about it. Well, she had a daughter and a son and a husband. And her daughter said, that's funny. Why do you think he said that? And her husband and son said, well, why did you apologize? It wasn't your fault. So it did show that gender pattern by which men seem, and everything I say about women and men, we have to remember it does not apply to everybody. We're talking about tendencies. Many men approach conversations as, well, let me back up a bit, because this is something that I wrote about in a book called You Just Don't Understand. Every conversation has two dimensions. We're asking, are we close or distant? And we're asking, who's up, who's down? And it often is the case that men tend to be more sensitive to the question, does this put me in a one-up or one-down position? Where women are more sensitive, maybe more attuned to the question, does this bring us closer or push us farther apart? And that can happen with apologies. So another example, a couple lived out in the country. The woman asked the man to mail a letter for her, telling him it was important. He agreed. The next day, they both got into the car together, and there was her letter on the front seat. They both spotted it, and he said, oh, I forgot to mail your letter. And she waited for him to say, I'm sorry, and he didn't. And they ended up arguing not about the letter, but about the apology. Hmm. And my take on it is that from her point of view, if you don't say I'm sorry, it's like you don't care that you let me down. From his point of view, of course I didn't do it on purpose. Of course I would have mailed it if I had remembered. And so insisting I say I'm sorry, it's like accusing me of a felony when I committed a misdemeanor. And there's a feeling of you're getting me to humiliate myself. And that's something you could use against me in the future. I don't think any of these things are thought through. I think they are automatic responses that we pick up learning to use language growing up and playing mostly with kids of the same sex. And also, of course, we responded to differently. And this is something I came across in a book I wrote about the workplace as well. Mm. It was called Talking from 9 to 5. Women did say, I'm sorry, more often than men. And for all the reasons that I mentioned, sometimes it was automatic. Sometimes it was a way to get the other person to apologize. And sometimes it meant, I'm sorry that happened. Although sometimes it really was an apology. But it did seem to play a role in women being underestimated, being seen as less confident and less competent than they really were.
We're talking with Deborah Tannen, who teaches linguistics at Georgetown University, and she studies how language affects our relationships. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Women and girls, how do people react when you apologize? Have you ever had someone tell you to apologize less? Do you think apologizing less is empowering, or do you think everyone should say they're sorry more often? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Barbara, how do people tend to misinterpret women saying they're sorry? Deborah, how do people misinterpret women saying they're sorry? And where do those misunderstandings come from?
The first misinterpretation will be when I'm sorry is heard as an apology if it meant I'm sorry that happened. You know, when you're at a funeral and you say, I'm so sorry, you're not pleading guilty to a murder charge. Mm. We understand it in that context. So that's one of the misinterpretations. And the other can be, if it was ritual. So here's another example. Woman as manager had to tell a subordinate he shouldn't have missed a meeting. She expected him to apologize. He didn't. So she said, gee, that was an important meeting. I'm sorry you weren't there. And he said, well, don't apologize. It's not your fault. She was expecting him to say, I'm sorry I missed the meeting. So that would be another misinterpretation, not realizing that it's an invitation to apologize. But I do have to make a really important point about the workplace. I also talked to women who told me they had made a point of not apologizing. And that was one of the things that led to their being seen as too aggressive. This is something I describe as a double bind in positions of authority in particular. And we see this in politics as well. If a woman talks in ways we expect of women, which might include saying I'm sorry a lot, then she might be underestimated. But if she talks in a way we expect of an authority, sometimes told, don't apologize, never explain, then she can be seen as too aggressive. So it's a fine line we have to walk.
We're breaking down why women apologize more than men, what impact sorry has on the dynamics between the sexes. Deborah Tannen is a linguistics professor at Georgetown, where she studies how language affects our relationships. You can join in with your take on apologizing at 800-642-1234. Why do you think some people apologize more than others? Do you think apologizing a lot is a sign that you're not confident? Or do you think apologizing shows empathy and concern for others? Call in. We'll get back to this in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about saying I'm sorry and saying it a lot. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The word sorry gets a workout. We say sorry to diffuse tension. We say it to express regret. We say it to bond with a loved one or try to ease someone else's pain. We apologize for our failures, even for our successes. But What if we could let ourselves off the hook for all of that? What might that feel like to apologize less? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Deborah Tannen is a professor of linguistics at Georgetown University, and she stays with us. Let's go to the phones now with Steve joining us from Sun Prairie. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. I think apologizing is a sign of strength. You know, when you have the courage to admit that you did something wrong, that's a very powerful thing to make someone, you know, recognize that you view them as a person. My experience is significantly different than what the guest is talking about. I do think women apologize for meaningless things, but when it comes to meaningful things, I don't see it. There's no woman in my life that I see that gives a heartfelt apology where they admit they did something wrong. I know John Updike talked about, and I think they made it into a movie, part of a movie, As Good As It Gets, when they talked about writing about a woman. They say, I think of a man, and I take away reason and accountability when I think of a woman. Hmm. That's the women in my life that I see.
So Steve is saying that the big things, there haven't been apologies from women in his life, but the little things, he sees the apologies. Deborah, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I really appreciate Steve's call. First of all, I love his saying that apologizing can be a sign of strength. I think that's absolutely right. And in my research in the workplace, women and men both really apologized. Really appreciated when bosses did apologize if they made a mistake. I'm a little surprised by his observation that women in his life tend not to apologize for strong when they've really made a mistake. Again, we have to keep distinguishing between I'm sorry as an apology and I'm sorry as a sign of taking into account the other person's experience. I'm sorry that happened. So absolutely nothing is true of all women and all men. When we talk about a finding of 60% versus 40%, that's a strong finding. You don't find 100% versus 0%. So I guess I would think that's just his encountering maybe some specific examples where mm-hmm. women didn't apologize. And certainly that's absolutely right. My most recent book about women friends, women told me friends they had who would never apologize frustrated them. Friends they had who did were particularly appreciated. So important to remember that there's always exceptions.
Let's take another call now. Let's go to Andy joining us from Madison. Hi, Andy.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yes. Yeah, where do you go with this?
Well, I've seen a transition over the past where sorry seems to have replaced the words excuse me and pardon me. Stepping up to a door, two people getting there at the same time. It's not excuse me anymore. It's oh, sorry. And it seems to be coming from a politically correct standpoint where, you know, you can't offend or do anything to someone. So you have to be sorry for the smallest of transgressions, reaching for a napkin at the same time, where before it would be, oh, excuse me, go ahead. Now everybody says sorry. And I hear that word so many more times a day. And that's just a comment I had, how the definition of the word seems to have changed and replaced a word. I rarely hear excuse me or pardon me anymore. It's always sorry.
Andy, thanks so much about with those observations there. Deborah, where's pardon gone?
Yes, another great observation. In the United Kingdom, in England, sorry has always been used in place of excuse me. And so I think that's a great observation that people may be switching in what they tend to say. But I would be very cautious about interpreting it literally. I do think this is a great example of where we use it as automatic. So complaining that they may be doing it for some literal reason, like political correctness, I would be a little bit hesitant to make that interpretation. I think Americans in particular, we sometimes don't like the idea that we're saying something cliched, and we like new words, which is why we tend to adopt new automatic things to say. So I would just take it as a just picking up a new word because we kind of like it. It's similar to instead of you're welcome saying no worries or mm-hmm. no problem. It just feels a little bit more original, and so it catches on.
Let's bring in Marcus now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well.
So my grandpa, when he was alive, he told me a story from his workplace where a guy made a mistake and absolutely dug in his heels and said, no, it wasn't my fault, tried to blame other people, tried to pass the buck. And as time went on, everybody at his workplace got involved, and it became clear at the end that, you know, that this gentleman had made the mistake, and he ended up looking like a really big jerk because, you know, he was trying to implicate other people in his mistake. And my grandpa said, you know, it's better to just say, hey, I made a mistake right at the beginning. And, you know, lots of times in a workplace situation, an employer will go, you know what, I understand, let's just figure this out, let's do better next time. And it becomes a non-issue. But when you dig your heels in, you know, and get other people involved, it turns into this big megillah. And my grandpa said, you know, it's far better to just take and, you know, bite the bullet and say you made a mistake, because we're all human and we make mistakes.
So, Marcus, you've learned not to escalate. Deborah, what do you make
yes.
of that?
Another great example, I think of findings that from my own study of the workplace. A man who was kind of similar. The boss never wanted to say he was sorry or admit fault. And his second in command told me that part of his job was to follow the boss around and apologize in his place. So I love this example, too, because so often when I've been interviewed on this topic, if it was a print interview, it would end up by saying, and therefore women should stop saying, I'm sorry. And I often would think, well, why not? Men should learn to say, I'm sorry more. I think we both can learn from each other's use of language. And absolutely, one last comment I'll make here, quoting someone that I interviewed and observed in my study of the workplace, a man telling me how much he preferred working for women because he said, with men, they're always pushing blame around. Those were his words.
So what would happen if we apologized more, if we said, I'm sorry, more often?
We, again, if we're thinking not of the automatic, oh, sorry, because you bumped into someone. If we're thinking of, you really made a mistake, you should just say, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And it's important also to acknowledge the effect of what you did on the other person and either make amends or make it clear you're not going to do it again. That's a complete apology. And I would say that both women and men could benefit from doing that when they really have made a mistake. That is, letting the other person know that they care about the effect that they had. And then I would wish that we could all be a little bit less inclined to take literally the sorry that is just a tipping of the hat.
So if we accept that apologizing is here to stay, it's just part of how specifically women speak, but that apologizing can also be easily misunderstood, how do you think we should deal with this miscommunication? How do you think we should communicate better?
You could always finish the sentence, I'm sorry that happened. If someone says to you, don't apologize, it wasn't your fault, you might actually say, I wasn't apologizing. I was just saying, I'm sorry that happened. And you can remind them that they might say that at a funeral, and it doesn't mean they think that they committed the murder. So just being willing to talk about how you're using language can be very helpful. There may be situations where if you feel you're the only one saying I'm sorry and it's affecting how people are reacting to you, you could try to cut back on it.
But do we have the ability to even do that? Is it so impulsive that it just comes out? Do we have the ability to curb it at all?
That's a great point. If we want to, sure. But because it is an automatic use of language, it's not going to be easy. Similar, for example, to saying, stop saying like in the middle of a sentence. And whenever this comes in an interview, people who are complaining to me, why do kids say like all the time? They'll say, like the other day, oops, I just did it myself. It is automatic. So it just takes some effort, but sure, we can do it if we want to.
Well, Deborah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Deborah Tannen is a linguistics professor at Georgetown University, where she studies how language affects relationships. Her most recent book is called You're the Only One I Can Tell, Inside the Language of Women's Friendships. Coming up, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call joins us to talk about the annual State Crime Lab report, which details efforts to test backlog sexual assault kits in Wisconsin, and a lot of other topics as well. That conversation is after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.